the Forces Christmas soundtrack.
Dreaming of a white Christmas.
This is BFBS Christmas.
You're listening to BFBS at the Forces Station. Happy Christmas from me, Tim Humphreys. Now, I'd like you to check your military Met Office, check your smartphone, maybe do the old school thing and look out the window. My question is, what's the weather like in your Forces location? Because for the next hour, we are dreaming of a white Christmas. Yes, we're chatting to Peter Cunner and Alan Al McKenzie of Dream. See what we did there. Boys, welcome to BFBS. Happy Christmas. Peter, where does your love of music first come from?
Well, that's a great question. Thank you, Tim. It's in my blood. I found out I was adopted at birth, and I went to meet my natural mother just before Doreen broke through, actually. And she told me that she was the lead singer in a band called the Marine Show Band. They were like here in Northern Ireland. There's a big show band scene in the 50s and 60s. And that my father was the musical director. He played trumpet and he played guitar. So my adopted parents just always encouraged me to, you know, play. In fact, one of my little party pieces was like Bruno Mars. So I used to take a candlestick and my little guitar and stand in the fire hearth and pretend I was Elvis. So I've always grown up with it. In fact, my dad took my first gig was in 1976. I went to see Johnny Cash play at the Opera House in Belfast. And that really blew me away. And then later on, discovered sort of new wave and electronica. And then by the time I hit the 90s, I was already making stuff in the studio, and Al came along and we started to, well, we surfed the crest of the wave of early house music.
What about for you, Al? Was there quite such a strong link for you and music in your family?
My dad was really into music. He used to buy 7-inch records all the time. And so he would always bring stuff in. So my brother and I, we just listened to them because we had a little record player. So I constantly listened to music, and then it'd be listening to the charts on the Sunday on the radio and stuff like that. And so I always listened to music. And then I was in Scotland and I moved down to England, and a friend in sixth form had he was a mobile DJ, and he worked at Hostel Radio. So because I always collected music, records, I just started doing that. And then that evolved into us doing parties for 16th birthdays, 18th birthdays, stuff like that, weddings, it's nonsense. Mm. And it's back in the, it's not like social media now where, we went to, there was a DJ shop that we used to buy gear from, and he used to get us gigs. So I ended up buying a massive sound system and everything, and I ended up doing these parties all over, everywhere. Mm. Late 80s thing, when the house music thing scene was coming through. So I was doing the sound system at these parties, and just thought, and it moved on to doing clubs. So I was DJing at clubs, and that's how Pete and I ultimately met, with me DJing at one of these clubs in London in Wardour Street, the Brain.
So I guess it was kind of club music that you were into, and then club music, I guess, that inspired you as an act.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well, our paths crossed at this place called the Brain in Wardour Street, and I was listening to Alan play out, and he had that kind of sound that was really hip at the time, called sort of Italo house. It did lots of strings and pianos, and I was trying to make music like that. So I said to him when we were standing at the bar, when I met him, that, you know, could he give us a hand? So he did. He came over, and the first track we worked on was You're the Best Thing.
Dreaming of a White Christmas.
Merry Christmas, baby. Playing the Forces Christmas soundtrack.
Got my music on the radio. You're the best thing. You're the best thing. My simple heart will live and learn. I took a chance. Searching for endless. You're the best thing, see me through. I never thought that any love could be so true. I found true love. Searching for endless. You're the best thing, see me through. I never thought that any love could be so true. I found true love. Thank you.
You're the best thing. You're the best thing. You see me through. I never thought that any love could be so true.
You're listening to BFBS, the Forces station, bringing you de-reaming of A White Christmas with Peter Cunner and Al McKenzie of the band. Now, Peter, you first got into music through the guitar act Tie the Boy that was signed to U2's label Mother Records in the late 1980s. What was that experience like?
We'd spent nearly a decade trying to get somewhere in Ireland, and there really was no circuit. I mean, the Undertones had bypassed the Irish scene. They literally went through Good Vibration Records. John Peel was championing them. There's lots of bands on the scene at the time, like, you know, Tuesday Blue, Hot House Flowers, Ghost of an American Airman, and they were all just trying to build up the gigs. But, you know, and then fast forward to meeting up with Mother Records, I believe Larry Mullen and their manager Paul McGuinness came down to one of our shows. And they just loved this song we had called Blame It On Me, which was actually my record. And they wanted us they threw money at us to get it, get it released. So the deal didn't work out for us, but they did bring us to London. And that was the main thing, because then I found myself, when the band had gone home to Ireland, I stayed in London, just slept on friends' floors and built up a knowledge of, how to work in the studio, because I was always obsessed with that sort of sound. Because you'd hear people on the radio like the KLF and the Farm and everybody. And I was really curious about this. Stone Roses, I was curious about how they were making this sound. I found out it was like loops, you know, on the computer, and how they sort of added things to that. And then by the time Alan and I crossed paths, it was just a perfect sort of like moment, because, you know, I've got it to a certain stage where I was trying to get it to the next stage. And then Alan came in and gave it all the dance floor knowledge. And then once we met Tom Fredericks, that's how we made You're the Best Thing for the first time. And DJs just lapped it up.
I mean, when you met and you started, kind of creating that music, putting together that song, You Are the Best Thing, was that a kind of an instant connection between you guys? I mean, Al, what would you say there?
Well, it was an instant connection, because I'd never done music before. Pete had been, obviously, as just said, been doing music. He'd just discovered dance music, and he had You're the Best Thing on the desk. That's what he'd been working on. So when I went there, we just needed that sort of dance floor thing. And that... So Pete got what he wanted out of me, in the sense that I gave him my dance floor sort of knowledge, and I got, this is my introduction to the studio. So it worked, it clicked straight away.
Did the band sort of form then in terms of you two and the other instrumentalists as well?
Well, the band was always Pete and I, to be honest. It's a strange thing, with as much as When It Goes Live, there's a band out there, we didn't, and we get musicians in when we're to the studio when we wrote something. We never had a band per se.
That came later when we needed to go out on the road, you know, when we got more musicians.
We would, like what we do now is the same thing. We work together getting the stuff how we want it, and if we need to get other musicians to do a part, then we'll get them in to do it.
And so, okay, I mean, it seems appropriate to break and play a song. You know, you talk there, Peter, of that link with U2 and their record label Mother. I'm thinking it's festive season right now. U2, Baby Please Come Home. That's a classic, isn't it?
It's Christmas. Baby, please come home.
Playing the Forces Christmas soundtrack all day long. The FBS, the Forces station at Christmas.
Hi, Stu the King of Rewind here. This Christmas I'll be spending it with my family. Up really early with a six-year-old, with all the older kids bleary-eyed, but no doubt they'll go straight back to bed at the earliest opportunity, leaving me with all the toys to play with. A nice Christmas dinner with all the trimmings, then I will no doubt be doing a family quiz with a few beers to go with them. So, stay safe wherever you are, and a very Merry Christmas to you all from me and my family.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. And tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. It's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas to you.
You're listening to D-Reaming of a White Christmas with the band D-Ream. See what we did there? A festive music special on BFBS, the Forces station. I'm joined by members Peter Cunner and Al McKenzie. They're with me. We've been talking about the formation of what I guess became a D-Ream, and then bringing in those session musicians and taking your hits on tour. Just take us back a step, Peter. How did the name D-Ream come about?
Well, it's very much of its time, and we had a gig. Alan arranged a gig for us. It was hastily put together at one of your nights,
right, sure.
and so we needed a name, and we just sat down. We sort of brainstormed. We both come at this from different angles, and I do remember suggesting the Dream Boys, so that we'd be like the strip act.
Right.
Okay. Well, he always thinks lots of things I come up with are cheesy, and he's not half wrong, but there you go. He had the idea of like more Dream Academy because he's being cool. And then we sort of dropped the Academy and the boys, and we went with Dream. And then next thing we thought, well, You've got The Influence.
I thought there might be a band called Dreamout there.
Yeah.
As well,
oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. The Influence, The Light. And we thought, hey, you know, let's just split the D from the R. And that's how it was born, you know. And by the time we'd done You're the Best Thing, we put that on the white labels.
It was done, yeah.
It just took off.
So when you say there it took off, I mean, you know, we're talking early 1990s now. What was it like to be working on that track for so long to then finally release it into the world and have that hit, You Are the Best Thing?
It just clicked. And what we're talking about, you know, at the time I was on what they call the dole back then, you know, and so I was just sort of, you know, brassic, basically. Alan had, you know, he got his nights and everything and his sound system. And then the person we were working with on FXU, who signed us to his label, we pressed up, I think, so many thousand. And I remember being on my push bike. That's how I got around London at the time. I took five. I put five in each. I put Rough Trade, five in Black Market, and a couple of the others down in Soho. And then the next week I came and they said, I want 20. This thing felt like it was moving. You could feel that it was happening. Totally different.
Mm. And then I guess for you both at that time, pun intended here, how big was the dream? How much of a hunger did you guys have at that point to kind of break your music across the UK, across Ireland, Northern Ireland, Europe and the world?
It was a funny one because we obviously just making music, your hunger's there because you're making the music, but we were so entrenched in London really, weren't we? We were doing gigs elsewhere because that scene seemed enormous. We didn't have social media, didn't have this stuff. So London just seemed like a big place anyway. It's like I come from Edinburgh, you come from Derry, Richard, you know, London was massive. So it just seemed like this whole world. Mm. So the fact that it was big there, you didn't really think about the other side of distributors, maybe taking the records elsewhere. But we were doing little PAs here and there. I was DJing in some places, not good. And you could see it slowly get bigger. And it was really quite strange, wasn't it? It was really...
I always wanted to take it all away. I've always said, I don't want to be posthumously awarded the best record ever. You know, I want it to be something I could sit with my grandkids and say, I did it. I went and did it. I went on with it. And I pushed it as far as I could, you know. And that's probably why we split, because I was being too pushy for the top of the charts. And Alan was quite happy for us to, like, do a slower build. So, you know, that's fine. And that, you know, I'm not going to cry over spilt milk.
Steve Reaming of A White Christmas.
The FBS Christmas.
Try to imagine a house that's not a home. Try to imagine a Christmas all alone. That's where I'll be since you left me. My tears could melt the snow. What can I do without you? I've got no place, no place to go. It'll be lonely this Christmas without you to hold. It'll be lonely. I just break down as I look around, and the only things I see are emptiness and loneliness and an unlit Christmas tree. It'll be lonely this Christmas without you to hold. It'll be lonely this Christmas.
Last year, when you and I were here, we never thought there'd be an end. And I remember looking at you then. And I remember thinking that Christmas must have been made for us. Because, darling, this is the time of year that you really need love. When it means so very, very much.
It'll be lonely
this Christmas.
Without you
at all.
It'll be
so very lonely. Christmas, darling, wherever you are.
You're listening to D-Reaming of A White Christmas, a festive music special with the band D-Ream on BFBS, the Forces Station. And Peter and Al from the band are with me. We talked a little bit about the pop dream, as it were. Of course, I guess you're best known for that 90s banger, Things Can Only Get Better. It was originally released in 1992. It reached number 16. And then it went on to be the UK's number one for 4 weeks in 1993. Top 10 in 8 countries, and then it was also back in the charts in 1997 thanks to that general election campaign, which we'll touch on. Firstly, boys, how did the song come about?
I was working for his then girlfriend at a place called Remike and Curtis. Now, it's like Ricky Gervais's The Office. It was full of creative people who were quite vitriolic towards each other. But one day someone said something to me. I got a bit upset, and she could see the girl facing me saw the tears well up in my eyes, and she said, "You know what they say, Pete, cheer up, things can only get better." Now, I'm, you know, being from Northern Ireland, I'd never really heard that expression, but it's obviously a big one in the UK. So I just ran straight into the loo there, and I had a Walkman. I'm showing my age, but they had the tape cassette, you know, built around the little Sony Walkman, and I just put that idea down straight away. And fast forward 3 years, I'm not working with the band I was with, but then Alan and I were working on a remix, and that just seemed to fit. And when I sang that to Alan, he just sort of jumped out of his chair and said, "What the hell is that?" And by the time we played it at his club that weekend, we got something that was really sort of sparse. It's actually on this Best Of album that we've just put out, The Best Thing. The actual demo's there, and you can hear how bare it is compared to the finished thing, because it's just, you know,
it's instrumental for one.
Yeah. So when we had that record, we just saw that at the end of the night, the boys were just getting the tops off and sort of putting their hands in the air, like it was like some sort of like religious festival. We knew there was something in it, just had no idea it was going to be that big.
And then, of course, it went on to spend 4 weeks at number one, as I was saying a little bit earlier. What is it like to have a number one song in the UK?
Oh, man, it's wonderful. And it's like, you know, all those teachers that told me I'd amount to a hill of beans, that was always in the back of my mind. But at the same time, it was so busy. My feet never touched the ground. I was literally in cabs, in studios, on aeroplanes, and everyone sort of piece of us. You know, it was crazy. But like good crazy, you know, like good nuts rather than like annoying. It was just wonderful. So a very heady time, to be honest. That whole year seemed to just disappear in a flash because it was so busy.
D-reaming of A White Christmas.
BFBS Christmas.
Hi everyone on BFBS, I'm Pete Connor from Dream, and this is the Mark Knight remix of Things Can Only Get Better.
walk my path. You can wear my shoes. Learn to talk like me and be an angel too. But maybe you ain't never gonna feel this way. You ain't never gonna know me. But I know you. I'm singing and I think I can only get better.
Christmas soundtrack.
Got my music on the radio.
We were talking about the success of the singles, the albums, arena tours, all in the 1990s. And of course, at times, those band performances, including future TV physicist, now professor, Brian Cox appearing alongside you.
Brian actually started off as our tour manager. He was, and when I say tour manager, he was the driver and the D-driver, as Alan would say. You're D-reaming of a white Christmas. Everyone's going to be at it now, aren't they? They're going to be D something everything. So he got the job as the keyboard player because he was just, look, scientists aren't the most practical people. They sometimes struggle to even make a cup of tea. So, but he played great keyboards and he looked great in his waistcoat and all the rest of it. And we got on so well with Brian. It just, he was a natural fit for us. But I did say to him later, I said, you know, I have to take some credit, Brian, for your career insofar as you got to explain very complicated things to very stupid people like me and the tour coach. And he says, you know what, Pete, I have to give you that because it did help him along. And he's been doing the same thing ever since. I'm not accusing everyone of being stupid, but the fact is, I've gone to his shows a couple of times, and I can't believe that everyone in the audience can follow the whole thing that he's going on about. I think they're just there to, you know, ogle at him. So at least half of the audience.
I've got to ask you, are you surprised by the sort of TV, the media success that Brian's had?
Not at all. No, he deserves it. I mean, his hero is a man called Carl Sagan, and anyone old enough to remember the 70s will remember that Carl Sagan was the original poster boy for science.
And as Patrick Moore was the sort of main guy for science, they needed someone who looked slightly better to take on people, because I don't think the ladies were ogling over Patrick Moore.
No, Brian's got that Britpop look, you know. He's got it down. He's a good looking boy, but he's also really good at explaining. He's got some great books out there. They're working on things about time and black holes and all that. And I'm actually going to go and see him in January. He's over here in Derry doing his tour. So we've stayed in touch, and I couldn't be happier for him.
We've been talking about the heyday of the 1990s on tour with the likes of Professor Brian Cox. Heady days, guys. And then, of course, things can only get better. The original went on to famously feature as an anthem in the 1997 election. The Labour Party sort of all but adopted it as their theme tune before going on to win a landslide victory, toppling the Tories 18 years in government. I've got to ask, did you know that Tony Blair's team were going to do that?
It was in the air. You could feel it was a sea change coming. And don't forget that Labour had rebranded themselves to New Labour. It was kind of an end of an era for me, because by the time 97 had come around, I'd finished with Warners, and I was going more into the back room then. I wasn't working with Alan anymore. I didn't want to go out on the road as D Ream, and I ended up working on things like The Honeys and Steps and A1 and Kylie and what have you. So that was great, because I could have the lifestyle without the hassle. And then fast forward to 2008, and I'm outside my house. I just went to the park, and it just so happens Alan's sitting there on this park bench, and we just looked at each other and thought, do you know what? Why don't we try something again? Because if it had been the lawyers putting us in the room, it would have been, you know, not happening at all. But this is just me and him meeting, you know, like we would do if we were standing at the bar. And that's when we started making records again. In fact, we're now on our fifth studio album we're working on. So if anyone can do a bit of clicking and come and find us on Facebook, you'll see the links to our last two albums, which are outside this new album that's there, released on Friday there.
Deep reaming of A White Christmas.
The FBS. Christmas.
Bang!
Playing the Forces Christmas soundtrack.
Merry Christmas!
Christmas on BFBS, the Forces station.
From Bravo 22, this is Ramon Baca, Deputy Project Manager, hoping that you are out there creating art when you can and having a wondrous and happy holiday season.
Hey, Mr. Churchill comes over here to say we're doing splendidly. But it's very cold out here in the snow, marching to and from the enemy. Oh, I say it's tough, I have had enough, can you stop the cavalry? Say, oh yes, yet again, can you stop the cavalry? Mary Bradley waits at home in the nuclear fallout zone. Wish I could be dancing now in the arms of the girl I love. Wish I was at home.
This is D-Reaming of a White Christmas with the band D-Ream on BFBS, the Forces station. My name's Tim Humphries, and it's a pleasure this Christmas to welcome Pete and Al of that band. Now, guys, after the heyday of the 1990s, you worked apart from each other for 15 years. And then in 2008, you bumped into one another, and your friendship, the magic there, was rekindled. D-Ream were back. You've since gone on in the 2000s to release two further albums, In Memory Of in 2011, and Open Hearts, Open Minds a decade later. And I know your third is pending. Al, take us back. How did that reunion happen?
We hadn't spoken for quite a few years, and I was just out. I'd been out all night, actually. If the truth be told, because I didn't live in London then. I lived up north, and I'd been out all night. So I was just chatting to some lads in a park, really, having a glass of wine in the morning. And then Pete had come out with his kids to go to the park, and he saw us. And he came over and he thought we were, but I don't know what he thought.
Reprobate.
We were looking at them. We were looking at them, thinking, what are they doing here time of the morning?
The normies.
Just that bizarre thing. I was like, God, do you know Al McKenzie? He's like, you're the DJ Al McKenzie. I've been the DJ Al McKenzie. I couldn't believe it. I'd seen him. And lawyers would not have got us together in a million years.
No.
And I just said, look, mate, you shouldn't have done that second album. It wasn't, it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what? And we just thought, will we just go and start making some music again? See how it goes.
Yeah.
And that was about 2008 or 2009. And since then, we've been together just making new music, which is what we like doing. We like to make new music. I know we do the live gigs with the old stuff, and we've got to do that. But we like, it keeps us creative and moving forward.
And what's it like to, Al, what's it like to introduce, I guess, a new generation to D-Ream and then your new music?
That's the whole point of everything, isn't it? You're always trying to get your music to new audiences, always. Because, I mean, a lot of, with the new stuff, a lot of people just think of D-Ream as things going to get better and you're the best thing, but else there's a lot more to us than that. Well, we like to think so anyway. And so people, we have a funny thing, we have fans that we've met since this new best compilation album's come out, and they've been talking online and saying, oh yeah, oh, I love D-Ream, I'm glad you're back together. And I'm like, well, we have actually been back together for quite some time. And then they're now then going to find and going online and finding and buying the new, because buying the new music, they didn't realise. So it's weird that they think they're really big fans, but they didn't even know we were back together all this time. So it's good that we're connecting with some people again and just getting out there to see what we're doing.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, talking of the 2000s, the 2010s, I know that, you know, your old hits as well have been adopted by new fans. Am I right in thinking that Things Can Only Get Better was adopted as a chant by fans of Sunderland Athletic Football Club?
Well done. Yeah, I'm a big football fan. And they were struggling. They were struggling in the Premier League. And so they started singing Things Going Better on the terraces. It's funny because I was a season ticket holder at West Bromwich Albion. I lived in Birmingham. And we were playing Sunderland and they were singing it coming off the chain till it got on the ground. And it's the most bizarre experience ever. So they got in touch with me on Twitter. So we started having a bit of banter. And they almost got it back in the charts again because they were singing it. It was quite bad. It was a really mad time.
And also, am I right in thinking that in 2020, during the pandemic, when we were all, you know, locked in our homes, locked down, that tune was also used as an anthem to kind of bring a bit of positivity? I seem to remember reading an article about it blasting out of, I think it was a Nottingham tower block or something.
Some DJ got a sound system, and during Clap for Carers, when they'd finished clapping, they projected our name onto the side of the hospital wall, a couple of different places. And this kind of took off. The next thing we know, it happened in Nottingham and Sheffield. And we're going like, well, that's really touching because, like, if it does bring some hope and some cheer to people, then that's not a bad thing, you know? So, yeah, no, it's interesting how it kind of takes on a life of its own, you know, outside of what we started.
D-Reaming of a White Christmas.
Merry Christmas, baby.
Playing the Forces Christmas soundtrack.
Got my music on the radio.
My name's Corporal Axe. I'm an instructor at the Fire Service College. This year, I'm going to be spending Christmas with my family after having 3 years in Cyprus. So I'm really looking forward to spending some quality time with them. Nice shout out to my wife, Caitlin, and my son, Oscar. Merry Christmas.
Come, they told me, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum, a newborn king to see, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum. Our finest gifts we bring, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum, rum-ba-bum-bum, rum-ba-bum-bum.
Peace on earth, can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see.
Our
see the day of glory.
See the day when
men of goodwill live in peace, live in peace.
So
peace on earth.
Child must be made aware. Every child must be made to care enough for his fellow man to give all the love that he can.
I pray my wish will come true.
It's
for my child and your child too.
We'll
see the day of glory.
I pray my death for him
when men of goodwill
peace, live in peace again. Then peace on earth, can it be?
This is D-Reaming of a White Christmas with the band D-Ream. This is BFBS, the Forces Station. My name's Tim Humphreys, and I'm joined by Pete and Al from the band. So looking back, of course, on that heyday now in the 2020s, nostalgia is huge, isn't it? What do you think it is about that era's music that you were making and those big songs from back in the day that still get great reaction?
I suppose nostalgia is like it's always been. I mean, the songs have, the songs that have been the soundtrack to my life, whether it's the Smiths or U2 or the Police or Eurythmics, I carry with me. And then people are telling me the stuff I've done with Al that is that as well. So I suppose they're just part of that cycle. And some songs can put you back in that moment, can't they? They're like little sort of memory bombs, aren't they? They just take you right back to where you were. And the next thing you know, it evokes all of the feelings that you had then. So that's why nostalgia works. It works really well. The soundtrack to someone's life, it's a privilege to be considered that, you know?
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, just to wrap up, I've got a couple of quick-fire questions around Christmas, OK? And around the topic of music, OK? Right. So you guys had a hit with You Are the Best Thing. What is the best thing, First Peter, about music, in a word?
Oh, joy.
Joy. Okay. Next one's for you, Al. What is the best thing about, I'm slightly trepidatious as I ask this, the 1990s?
Good geez. Best thing about 1990s? They're over.
All right. Back to you, Peter. What is the best thing about Christmas, in a word?
Family.
Family. I like it. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Al, of the band D-Ream, who release their album D-Ream, The Best Thing. Guys, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you and featuring you on BFBS, The Forces Station.
On air, online, on the app, on FM, and DAB Plus throughout the UK. This is BFBS. The Forces Station.